Getting ready to buy or sell a home in 30, 60, or 90 days? Then check out BundleSelect.com to find out how you could save 20% or more on your entire transaction. Save on real estate, lending, and title. With BundleSelect.com, technology and a personal concierge are at your service to save you time and money. Bundle Select's hand-picked team of experts will compete for your business, so you'll save thousands of dollars by bundling all of these services. BundleSelect.com gives you all the control, including using your own realtor. I'm Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live, and I have been on the radio educating consumers for years. By bundling services like real estate, lending, and title, you could save tens of thousands of dollars. Act now, and this new model could save you money on your move, lower your interest rate, or cover your closing costs. Visit BundleSelect.com. That's BundleSelect.com.
The estimated minimum savings are based on a comparison with a national average. Individual results may vary, and the estimated savings are not guaranteed. Bundle Select, Inc. is a licensed real estate broker. California Bureau of Real Estate Broker, license number 0046-6902.
Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Kuchera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Kuchera.
Welcome in, Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you again for continuing to follow us during the week as we wrap up the week here. Just a reminder, if you want more information, you can always go to reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Best thing to do is we have people to follow us on Facebook. We're doing the Facebook streaming live, of course, each and every time if we can, as we are today. But the best thing to do is go download the podcast. That way you could listen to the shows at your convenience anytime you want. You go to iTunes and just type in Real Estate Radio Live or go to our website as well and download the podcast. That way you could follow us. Listen to the podcast at your convenience. Most of you know, if you've been following the show for almost 8 years, the focus has been pretty much the same, and that is we work really hard to have great guests like we have today, content, information to pass on to you, the consumer, to help educate and inform you and give you that information so that you're making wise decisions in and around your real estate. However, we also like to bring in guests like George Papadianis, who we have today. He's a regular guest of ours for the expertise in financial planning and much, much more. And this goes right along with the holistic planning. When you think about it, when you sit down with someone like George, you're talking about your investments, college education, you're talking about your real estate investments for now and the future, and it all is encompassing all together. So, George, good to have you back today. How you been?
Doing well. Thank you so much for inviting me back, Joe.
It's always good to have you. The expertise on the market. And today we're going to talk a little bit about multi-generational planning. But before we do that, if you could give the audience first, George, a little bit about your background, and then we'll talk a little bit about the market.
Certainly. I am a private wealth advisor here in the Bay Area with offices in San Mateo and San Jose and satellite offices in San Francisco and the East Bay. My main hub is in San Mateo. And I work with individuals, families, and business owners to help them grow in their wealth while protecting it and preserving it from the unforeseen. And we have plenty of unforeseen lately, so you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do. And you help quite a few clients there, George. You have what's the team like now? How many members do you have on your team?
We have 8 members in the team working in the personal practice, and we're servicing about 300 families with almost $750 million of assets under management actively under our management, and probably about $1 billion that we provide advice that is not here with us, but we give advice to clients as to how to best manage that part of the wealth.
Very good. Well, let's talk a little bit, if you can, maybe give us an update on the market, other than, of course, the obvious volatility, but maybe if you could share with us a little bit about your expertise and your opinion on, I think we had you on a couple of months ago. You know, as we roll into the second quarter here, maybe a review of the first quarter and maybe, in your opinion, what we might expect to see in the next quarter or so.
Absolutely. I mean, nothing has changed from the last time I was here other than the volatility continues. Mm-hmm. We were kind of spoiled with almost a year and a half to 2 years of no more than maybe a 5% correction in the market. And then all of a sudden, We remember how it felt like to be in January, February, March of 2016, because certainly the months of February and March and, of course, April of 2018 kind of reminds us that period of time a couple of years ago. And hopefully, just like a couple of years ago, the volatility will subside and we'll have a much better looking 2018. Just for the record, very few analysts or economists have changed their mind from their bullish outlook in January compared to April. Mm-hmm. Of course, in January, we had lots of companies coming up and claiming that we would see Dow Jones 28,000 all the way to 31,000 by the end of the year. Some of those expectations have been pared down to maybe 27,000 to 29,000 now. Of course, as I have mentioned many times before, that's just a guess. There's no guarantees. I hope they're right, by the way. But obviously, no one predicted 3 months ago that we would have a 2,500-point correction right. in the month of February and April. So please take that with a grain of salt. The primary reason for that is I do think the market did get ahead of itself in retrospect, especially certain sectors of it, where the price-earnings ratios are out of this world. And the fact that, we now have a new head in the Fed, and mm-hmm. he has raised rates and he continues to say that he will be raising rates, maybe spooking the markets a little bit, because too much of a rapid raise increase can spook the markets. And if interest rates go up, and as you know, in your business, mortgage rates go up, that may slow down the purchasing of homes, or it may delay and extend the time that homes are available for sale, and that could, you know, potentially slow down the economy, the cost of borrowing money for corporations as well as for individuals, for business owners is going up as interest rates are going up, and that could also slow down profits. If it's done in a measured way, I think we'll be healthy, but the markets sometimes are fearful of that.
Yeah, very, very good. Well said. You know, one of the things I was going to ask you, George, all these industries we're seeing around us changing with the evolution of technology, and things seem to be changing on a regular basis. Every time you turn around, you know, we're not only getting things delivered quicker, cheaper, faster, all that. In your world, has it changed much in the way the strategies that you approach your clients and how you go about your practice, anything? Or is it pretty much the same? Obviously, discipline, sitting down, planning with someone for the future, you know, meeting with them on a regular basis and really making sure they're meeting their objectives and their goals. Has any of that changed, or is pretty much the same in what you do in your practice?
Well, the delivery of the advice has changed. Obviously, 20 years ago, if we wanted to reach a large number of, mm-hmm. of clients, the only way to do that would be to really do a big seminar. You know, you go to a hotel, you order some good food and some wine, hopefully, and or maybe you do a Saturday brunch and you invite your clients and you go through an education day, and that's how you can have a lot of information thrown at our clients, not only from me, but from keynote speakers, people who are experts in the field of certain areas. And those events were very educational and very, very well attended, especially if the food was good. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it's so much easier to disseminate this information, and people can still choose to go to a seminar and go to a hotel and dress up and be social. But most people will enjoy doing that in the comfort of the PJs, opening up the computer and reading an article or getting a perspective that comes to them in real time versus waiting for 3 weeks for an event to take place, right? Mm-hmm. So the method of communication obviously has changed a lot. It's almost instantaneous. I see myself in the last 2 months, we have had, I think, half a dozen days where the market went up or down, mostly down, mm-hmm. by over 600 points.
Right.
And every time we had a day that was down more than 600 points, at the end of the day, within 2 hours of the close of the market, I will have an article with some editorials called After the Close, meaning after the market close, that would go to my client via email. And by later that evening, I will probably have 50 to 60 to 70 responses to my email, most of them saying, hey, George, we're good. Thanks for checking in. Nothing to do, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe a couple of them would say, hey, George, I'm freaking out. I need to meet. And a couple more would say, hey, maybe this is a good time to buy. Should we buy?
Yeah.
So those are usually the responses. And it actually makes me feel good that we have such a big response ratio and people actually read, you know, my comments or the articles, and they don't just put them on spam. And I would only be more than happy to elaborate, you know, my perspective with people who are concerned or people who are, you know, who are interested to maybe take advantage of the opportunities in real time. And I find myself sometimes sending emails at midnight. And as strange as that sounds, I'd rather do that than having my clients wait for 3 weeks before we get to see each other face to face.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Every time the market, the volatility comes like that. So you have a system in place, if I hear you right, that notifies the clients, kind of gives them a review, a summary from your perspective. So it not only stays in touch with them in these volatile times, but it also has to have a sense to them like, George has got my back. He understands what's going on. He obviously, you know, this could be a volatile time, and it's good to hear from you. I would guess that that really must make them feel a lot better than just not hearing anything when you have these crazy times from back and forth.
I would hope so. I mean, we went through, I mean, this is nothing compared to what we went through in 2000,
right.
2002, and 2008,
right.
2000. So just to put in perspective, I think the Dow Jones or the S&P or the Nasdaq are maybe down 2% for the year, if that. So this is not a big deal. We tend to make a big deal. We tend to dramatize things because we don't measure what happened since the beginning of the year or the last 5 years. We measure what happened since the last peak.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the peak was a crazy peak and now we're down. And maybe this is the reality, right?
Right,
so
right.
The thing that I think my clients appreciate is they know that I have their back. They know that I am their advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that I care. But they also know that I'm completely powerless and helpless as to be able to control the market or forecast the market or foresee the market.
Right.
So because we know we're powerless, then we have to put checks and balances in place to be well diversified, well hedged, because you never know which way those markets are going to go. So if one part of it goes way down, you have another part that stays stable or goes slightly up, and you can rebalance and take advantage of opportunities. Because ultimately, and history is always there to prove that to us, ultimately, number one, things tend to revert to the mean. And number two, what goes up must come down. And what goes down eventually comes up.
Yeah, well said. I want to talk to you a little bit about, before we take a break, we're going to do that in just a couple minutes, housing and jobs, kind of specifically, George, in the Bay Area, before, again, we'll jump into multi-generational planning. But real quick on this, because it's always kind of a hot topic. You know, strong job market here. We're all aware of that. It's well documented. Jobs are good. Housing markets are crazy. Do you work with so many people, not only clients, but a lot of professionals and institutions. You get a lot of data and information. Do you see any potential changes in the Bay Area with, you know, people maybe thinking about, you know, moving away or adjusting what they're doing, or, you know, it's too expensive and I just can't, you know, and there's got to be a better way to do this, and the taxes and kind of the whole ball of wax there. What is your take on that? Or is it just a very unique place to live and work still? And that's probably going to be much of the same.
Yeah. You know, usually the people who I interact with, people who come to my office, are usually busy and successful people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't really tell you that the people who I interact with are people who reflect a cross-section of our society here.
That's a good point.
But one thing for sure, one of the things that has taken place in this blessed area of the country that we live is that the jobs are plentiful, the incomes are a little higher than the standard for the United States. Housing is out of this world, but as expensive as it is, it's nowhere near as expensive as living in Manhattan.
That's true.
And we still have more space than they have in downtown Manhattan. And the living conditions are even nicer here. But nevertheless, it's prohibitively expensive. There's definitely a big difference in income and net worth between the haves and the have-nots. So we have seen a little bit more of separation of those two categories, if you want. But obviously, there's an ever-increasing large size of middle class and upper middle class who, because of the opportunities at work, can still afford to pay those outrageous prices because of stock options and stock rewards in this area.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, given that I usually preach to the choir and the people who I interact with are, you know, financially sound and financially comfortable folks, the number one complaint I get is, oh my God, I can't stand this traffic.
True.
I'm ready to move out because this is not the area I grew up in or the area that my kids went to school. So, and when you couple that with the fact that many of the retiring older baby boomers, they're empty nesters, maybe they have not done as good a job saving for retirement, and their number one asset is their home, there may be a demographic exodus, if you want, of people who are in their late 60s or 70s or even early 80s who say, I don't want to live here anymore. I want better care. I want long-term care in a beautiful, luxurious facility that I can afford in a different state, and I'm willing to give up the climate and, you know, my favorite Bay Area so I can have a better quality of life because I want to leave something to my kids. So we could very well be seeing a demographic exodus of those folks, but there's plenty of demand to capture those pieces of property from the younger generation, the millennial generation, but mostly the middle, and maybe Generation Xers and Generation Ys who are ready with their stock options and their higher salaries to be able to take a risk and afford to buy a more expensive home.
Yeah, very good. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back. We're going to continue our conversation with George Papadionis. Again, he's a certified financial planner, private wealth advisor with Ameriprise Financial Services. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more. We're going to have George jump in and talk about multi-generational planning. This is Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Stick with us. For those that are watching Facebook, we'll be back with you to just continue the show in a minute.
For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com.
Getting ready to buy or sell a home in 30, 60, or 90 days? Then check out BundleSelect.com to find out how you could save 20% or more on your entire transaction. Save on real estate, lending, and title. With BundleSelect.com, technology and a personal concierge are at your service to save you time and money. Bundle Select's hand-picked team of experts will compete for your business, so you'll save thousands of dollars by bundling all of these services. BundleSelect.com gives you all the control, including using your own realtor. I'm Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live, and I have been on the radio educating consumers for years. By bundling services like real estate, lending, and title, you could save tens of thousands of dollars. Act now, and this new model could save you money on your move, lower your interest rate, or cover your closing costs. Visit BundleSelect.com. That's BundleSelect.com.
The estimated minimum savings are based on a comparison with a national average. Individual results may vary, and the estimated savings are not guaranteed. Bundle Select, Inc. is a licensed real estate broker. California Bureau of Real Estate Broker, license number 0046-6902.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's topic or guests, just visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Again, your host for today's edition of Real Estate Radio Live, Joe Kuchera.
Welcome back in. Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you again for tuning in. Today we have our guest calling in who is with us usually every couple of months, George Papadionis, who is a certified financial planner, private wealth advisor at Ameriprise Financial Services. Today, we're going to jump in and talk a little bit about the multi-generational planning. Before we do that, George, if you could give the listeners an idea, if anyone wants to contact you or interested in your services or you're working with you or your team, what's the best place to reach you?
Thank you, Joe. Again, my firm's name is Papadionis & Associates. It just rolls over the tongue. I have an office in San Mateo and in San Jose. Our website is www.papadionisandassociates.com. And I'll spell that for your listeners, P-A-P-A-D-O-Y. A-N-N-I-S, and as you spell it, associates.com. My telephone number at the office is 650-593-9170. My direct extension is extension 328, but of course you can always find me online if you do a search, and I'm sure you can also find me through your radio program. So I'm happy to be here. I'll be happy to address any questions you or your audience may have.
Very good. And you take all your clients to Greece once a year, right? You're going to get 150 phone calls right after this.
not everybody and not every year.
All right. Tell us a little bit about, if you give us kind of the background and your thought around the multi-generational planning.
Yeah, so we're all aging. We're all getting a little older. And one of the issues that has been coming up a lot as we work very hard to build our clients' wealth is, well, I'm building this wealth for me and my spouse, but ultimately I want to leave a legacy to my kids. And in the last few years, especially in the last few years, I'm beginning a lot more questions about, gee, you know, I don't know if my kids are ready to handle, you know, managing this wealth if something happens to me and my spouse in the next few years. However, you know, they're so young and they do not know what they do not know, and they're not really interested in coming and talking to you or anybody like that. So they're very intimidated by the conversation. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I can get my kids involved. Mm-hmm. And I have my own kids. I have two kids, 23 and 21-year-old. And I can see that even though I'm a financial advisor, even though they have been raised around me and my passion, which is my business, even they have hang-ups and some misconceptions around investments and financial planning and, you know, the power of deferral and compounding rate of returns. And I have to work extra hard, but also in a very tactful way to make sure they don't get turned off by the subject matter and still be engaged into the process. So it's not just a science, it's also an art, and it really depends on the culture that exists in each household. But we try to put some strategies in place to be able to encourage our clients to, number one, attract, and number two, engage their children, and in some cases their grandchildren, into the concept of planning for the future, being responsible citizens, being fiscally responsible, unlike our government, and be able to manage potentially a significant amount of wealth when the time comes.
Yeah. You follow this data closer than anybody, but we keep hearing about the transformation of wealth over the next couple of decades. George, do you kind of see the same thing? I mean, when you look at the generation, the baby boomers primarily, and then even a little bit older, and then the transfer, I mean, as they move along, you know, get out of the workforce. Unfortunately, we don't all live forever. The people that pass away. This transformation of wealth, is it going to be in the next couple of decades some of the largest wealth transferred to the families, younger generations than we've seen in the past?
Yeah, it's a good point. So there was a significant amount of wealth passing from the Depression baby generation to the baby boomer generation about 10, 15 years ago.
Okay.
And in the next 15 years, because, you know, generation is about 30 years, in the next 15 years, we're going to be seeing yet again another, the beginning of another huge wealth transfer from the baby boomer generation to the next generation, including the millennial generation. And some of the interesting statistics that we hear when we go together, see credits and understand a little bit more about demographics is, number one, the baby boomers were not as well prepared with their finances as was the Depression baby era. And the reason for that is because pensions ceased to exist in the baby boomer generation. Mm. And for sure, they don't exist now, unless you're working in the public sector.
Right.
And as a consequence, people did not take responsibility in managing their own finances in such a way that they have enough assets. And if you leave California, and that you probably, your readers, your listeners do not care about that, but if you leave California or you're away from Manhattan or New York or a major metropolitan area where prices are very expensive for real estate, most Americans do not have enough money saved for retirement. So when we talk about wealth transfer, even though it could be trillions and trillions of dollars of wealth transfer, if you look at it on average across the United States, the average household may not have enough money to retire and live comfortably. And that's, again, an average. So that means that there won't be a heck of a lot of wealth being transferred on average from one generation to another. However, okay, the top 5-10% of the population will definitely have a significant amount of assets that will be transferred to their kids and hopefully to their grandkids. And in those categories, you're absolutely correct. There will be a significant amount of wealth being transferred, both in terms of real estate as well as, you know, stocks and bonds and portfolios and stuff like that. And that's where the responsibility lies. For example, I was exposed to some research three months ago, and what we found out is that as mom and dad pass away, and the children are usually in their 50s or 40s when the parents pass away, sometimes in their 60s, about 40% of the cases, 40% of the cases, the inheritance money is wiped out within 1 to 2 years.
Wow.
The retirement accounts sometimes are wiped out within 6 months. So if a couple dies and there is IRA money left, that usually that IRA money, once it gets split between the siblings, it's gone within 6 months. And the younger the beneficiaries are, the quicker the money disappears. So that is very alarming. Now, that's a national statistic. And remember, those are averages. It doesn't mean it happens across the board. Obviously, if a couple has a net worth of $200,000 and $100,000 is IRA money and they have three kids and each of the three kids gets $33,000 each, in 6 months, it'll go away.
Yeah.
If the inheritance is, you know, $10 million and each of the kids get $5 million, it will probably not go away.
Yeah.
So remember, those are averages. But those are very alarming averages.
Yeah, they are. And I know that you work with, obviously, the certified, you do the planning, but I know you work closely along with people that do the trust and the estate planning and stuff, George. So my guess is what you just explained would be a good reason for people to really customize their trust, you know, depending on the unfortunate incident, if someone passes away, that you could put provisions in those trusts. Is that right? That the children get so much amount of money over a period of time. Is that correct? You could kind of customize those?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The first thing is to empower the children or the younger generation to be fiscally responsible and astute and be able to do right with whatever legacy the parents leave behind. But if the parents, assuming they know their kids well, think that that may not be a battle they can win, then ruling from the grave, so to speak, may be another option, right?
Yeah.
And yes, I do provide advice to my clients how to try to instill or motivate fiscal responsibility, even though they're no longer around, with having certain provisions or restrictions, if you want, in their trust documents. And in the meantime, they still should not give up in making sure they provide some education to the next family. And I think it's my responsibility as an advisor to become a catalyst for this to happen, because we all naturally are nice people, especially here in America. People are very nice. They're very conflict avoidant. They don't want to, you know, raise any waves. They don't want to raise any eyebrows. We want to be in harmony. And sometimes we have too much harmony. You have apathy. And if you have apathy, bad things happen.
Yeah.
And my job is to create sometimes some empathy and sympathy and maybe even some volatility, so to speak, to get people talking and communicating. And if I can serve as a catalyst for people to start to communicating about the responsibility that an inheritance brings or money brings, you know, a few people may hate me, but some people will appreciate it. Most people will appreciate it. So I'll provide my perspective and allow people to have their perspective and see if we can create a win-win as far as legacy planning is concerned.
Yeah, I love it. It's part of the tough love, tough financial love, right?
It is.
Before I let you go, just a couple minutes. I don't want to let you go without asking you your opinion. I might have last time too, George, but this Bitcoin stuff, you know, it's all over the news, and you know, you see people going crazy with it. You see all kinds of speculation. You see, I guess in a minute or so before we go, give me your opinion and your thoughts on Bitcoin and how people should approach that. Should they be careful? What is your overall thought about that?
Well, let's just say that Bitcoin has made stocks like Nvidia go through the roof. So thank you. It is, of course, one of those new, you know, unknowns, just like the internet was an unknown one time.
Right.
I don't have a crystal ball to know where it goes. I just know that there's no backing per se of that as a currency. Not that the dollar has a backing either, but at least we have a thing called the U.S. government and, you know, resources and infrastructure and stuff like that. So I guess I would just give you the same answer that Jimmy Dimon from, you know, J.P. Morgan gave, which is, I don't know anything about it, and I don't know how they can have somebody pay so much money for the coins, but obviously somebody does.
Yeah.
So you can call it investing, you can call it gambling, but there's many things you can call investing and gambling. So it's not something that I recommend to my clients, because I don't have any basis or substance to recommend it by to support it. But it does not mean that somebody is not making money on it, and at times somebody losing money on it. I mean, we have seen Bitcoin go up and down since the beginning of the year by more than $3,000, depending on the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's obviously lots of games being played and money being made and lost. And history will either justify the people who are believers or it will make them very poor. One of the two.
Well, thanks, George. Real quick before we go again, for those that may want to reach you, the best place to do that would be what? And then we'll let you go today.
Yeah, reach me at 650-593-9170 or www.papadiannisandassociates.com.
Great. Hey, George, thanks again for your time. It's always great having you on, your insight, your expertise, and say hello to my friends over at Ameriprise for me.
Thank you. Likewise. Right. Enjoy the weekend.
Take care, George. Bye-bye. This is Joe Cuchera of the Real Estate Radio Live. Thanks to George Papadiannis for showing up again today. Every couple of months, pops in and gives us his expert advice on the market. Take care. Have a great weekend. We'll be back with you next week.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.